Welcome back to the Night Audit. This is the Night Audit Reflections, a sub-series within the Night Audit, diving deep into my personal life, in particular the aspects of my life and the journey to pro that I wouldn't be sharing on Instagram or YouTube. And I do have an update that I haven't shared with anyone yet, and that is I'm leaving the country again. Now, this time, it's a bit more complicated. Last time, I had direct trials. In this case, it's not quite that, but I'm going to be documenting all of it and uploading it to YouTube. I do have, obviously, like I mentioned before, the series where I went to Seattle after Malta in, what would that be, 2021, and then I came back to Vancouver, and then I went to Dubai in 2022, and that lasted about a year. And now I'm here, about to leave again, and, you know, we're going to see where this adventure takes us. And, you know, just on that topic of leaving for trials, you know, obviously there's probably people wondering why I don't just stay here and try and make it. And I have, right? Like, I have my entire life, and I really don't believe that I'm not good enough. I don't believe that. I don't see that. I really know that football is in almost entirely about who you know. And ironically, I have more opportunities outside of Vancouver than I do inside of Vancouver. Now, obviously, I have a lot of good connections in Vancouver, but, you know, making it into these teams as limited as they are in the scene here, like, we only just recently opened up, you know, a semi-professional league called League One BC. And then we, again, like, this is the first season where we're having a, you know, professional team other than the Vancouver Whitecaps in Vancouver. We had one on the island, which is Vancouver Island, which is, you know, somewhat close, but it's still not in Vancouver. So now we have three professional teams like within the area, and that's only, you know, within the last 2 years that this has developed. So football developing very late, and I know you guys probably don't really care about this, but just to give a little bit of context as to why I do travel. And also want to add that football isn't my life, right? Like, I don't just play football. I have a lot of other things going for me and a lot of other things that I'm interested in. Hence why traveling is actually so beneficial, because I meet so many people, and it's on these travels, meeting these people, that I really realize the value in making these connections and, you know, where they could lead. When I went to Dubai, I had no idea the amount of different people that I would have met. I couldn't have predicted where it would have gotten me, and like the circles that I'm in, the rooms that I got into, you know, the information that I gained, the insights that I got, just from being around the right people and meeting the right people, it was incredible. And it really opened my eyes to the potential, right? That was just Dubai. I didn't have any previous connections. Now I understand, okay, every time I travel, if I make an effort to being put into these places where other like-minded people would be, things just sort of happen. And when you have goals, when you're an ambitious person, when you have drive, and you're around other people who have that same sort of creative drive, like I said, things just happen and things flow, and it's sort of inexplicable. That's why there's so much value that goes underappreciated in really just risking it all and going for it. So you might think, like, why not just stay in Vancouver, continue to try to get trials here, try to make it to Vancouver, blah, 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 because it's local, save money, it's easier. And that's exactly why I don't want to do it, because it's easier, because I don't have to put myself in these situations of quote-unquote risk, right? When I'm traveling abroad and I'm meeting people and I'm having to really budget my money, try to find ways to make money here and there, also creating content, the content's usually a lot more exciting. I'm usually having a much better time because everything is so up in the air and I kind of really enjoy and thrive off that spontaneity, which, by the way, wasn't something I always, you know, enjoyed. I used to be someone who was very much against anything, you know, happening spontaneously. And I think that's a character trait that I've sort of developed over time. And it comes with a realization that nothing really matters. Like, at the end of the day, we're all going to die and all of our material possessions and accomplishments sort of dissipate and, you know, end with, you know, our memory. So for as long as people remember us, if they remember us, you know, if it was greater than just our immediate family, then, you know, even then, nothing we did actually had any impact. I know that's a very, like, nihilistic-esque viewpoint or stance to have on life, but in a way, I think it brings a lot of meaning to my own life, because I truly believe anything's possible by that token. And I would hate to be on my deathbed, or at least know I'm coming towards the end of my life, and look back on it and regret not giving 100% in the areas of life that I knew I could have, you know, really delved deeper into. And that was a decision I had to make. I had to just decide, be more confident. I had to decide, be more spontaneous. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but you know, in the greater picture, that it is in your best interest. So just do it. And sometimes life comes down to that. I feel like on social media, we have so many tips and tricks and life hacks and all of these shortcuts or seeming shortcuts to get to desired results or become the person that you want to be without having to do the work that that person that you want to be would require having done. If that made sense. I'm not sure that made sense. But I feel like you get the gist of what I'm saying. A lot of the times, it just takes the suffering. The suffering is oftentimes the payment you have to make in order to become the person you want to be or accomplish the goals you want to accomplish. There are no shortcuts. There are no life hacks. You know, you can't look up how to be confident on YouTube and watch a video and all of a sudden become confident. It actually takes going out there and failing, being put in situations that, you know, you would otherwise have run away from, that you would have shied away from. And I think these are just habits over time that you build, and you know, by following through with the promises you make to yourself, eventually you build up what we would define as confidence. And I don't think anyone's ever just confident naturally, and I don't think anyone is ever confident, you know, always. It's always a decision and a choice of, you know, sort of being comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And there's a bit of a misconception, at least from what I've observed online. Now, I forgot how I got here. I think it came from traveling and trialing overseas. I'm not going to give away the location of where I'm going just for privacy reasons. And you'll obviously have to follow me on Instagram and stay tuned to the YouTube channel, which I will, I promise I'm uploading to, because YouTube is where I want to dedicate most of my time just as things are up in the air and I'm traveling. I'm also focusing on football and doing Instagram already is a lot. It's a lot to do as one person, so I need to eventually outsource. And that's another thing, like trying to play football while also doing social media. It's a choice I made. It's a decision I took for myself a couple years ago, and it's one that I haven't regretted, but it doesn't mean it hasn't been, you know, 10 times as difficult. Because think about this, right? Like, I've created a storyline around my journey that's also been entertaining, and I've been helping people. Obviously, yes, it's given me connections and put me out there and, you know, created awareness about my brand or who I am as a human being. That's how I like to put it. I think brand is like super robotic and a very superficial way of talking about yourself and your persona. And that's what I found as well, being in this space, is there's a lot of fake and artificial people who talk about themselves as their brand or their niche or, you know, their life as content. And I just think that's, I don't know. For me, I create content as real as possible. I often try to share conversations I'm actually having in the moment, filming without the other person noticing. And obviously, I ask for consent. And if they don't want me to post, I don't post. But that's how I get a lot of my content. It's just legitimately real conversations that I also happen to be filming. And I've gone to a point now where I just forget the camera's even on. And it's kind of a cool place where I'm living life fully present, but I'm also having it be recorded in a way that is unbeknownst to the other individual. So it doesn't take away from their experience. And it doesn't take away from mine, because I've gotten used to it, and it's dope. I don't know. I think I haven't seen anyone else do it, and it's the content that I enjoy creating the most, and I feel like it's the one that has the most impact. But what I'm trying to say is, when I create content on social media, I really try to give something. I try to share something that I believe to be powerful, that I believe to be true and important. But when I see creators online and, you know, creators with heavy quotation marks, like, I think a lot of, you know, what we define as creation is kind of, you know, it's like art, right? Like, art, everything is art, but also some things are very much not art. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge other people, but I just do think that there are levels to this, and I'm really striving for that level where I can, you know, impact people on a way that I felt I've been impacted by the creators that I've looked up to and that have helped me on my life. You know, I used to be the guy that was watching those confidence tutorials on YouTube and trying to, like life hacks and shit, until I realized there's only so much content that you need to watch. I've now really nailed down the handful of people that I watch occasionally that I feel like when I do watch and invest my time and energy into, do give me the most value back. And it's that sort of concept, that symbiotic relationship, that I feel like you should not only apply to the people that you consume or people's content and ideas that you consume online, but also in person. And this is something that over the past couple months, I've really had a lot of revelations with, because the people that you spend your time with, whether you realize it or not, you become like them. So when I was in Dubai, spending a lot of time with Sohail, also a very motivated and driven person in a similar space as me, I felt like I was leveling up as a human being. Obviously, there were some things that I needed to work on, and it wasn't all perfect, but I definitely felt as a whole, as a net positive, I was growing faster and, learning new things at a rate which I'd never done before, just because I've never been in a circle like that. Now, coming back to Vancouver, I don't have those same type of people around me. I think I touched on this on the last podcast episode of Reflections, where I talk about, you know, the people in my life at the moment, and it's not that they're not inspiring, it's that we're just not on the same or a similar enough path with which I can really take a lot of value away from. And I started noticing myself slipping away from who I know I want to be, who I know I can become. And it's this weird sort of, you know, you're watching your potential just like kind of slip away from your grasp, knowing it's actually under your control because you're making the decisions every step of the way, choosing to spend time with these people, whether it be out of obligation or because you're just too naive to really understand the damage it's causing your psyche. You know, it doesn't really matter. You're always making a choice, and the choice is always yours. And I, you know, I'm a big believer that you're in the place you are in life because you deserve to be. Now, obviously, external circumstances aside, like the luck of where you're born or, you know, your parents or things that happen along the way that are out of your control, everything else is in your control. And as a result, you're as far as you are in life. You are as close to the goals that you want to achieve by how much effort you put in. And wow, I feel like I've just kind of talked about 40 different things in the span of like 10 minutes. I'm so sorry. But this is kind of how these episodes go. I'm a very chaotic person. I tend to jump around from topic to topic. So this is very much as a conversation with myself that you're tuning into. I forget where I was going with that. I'm sure it was somewhere beautiful, but and not cringe at all. But I do have some questions that I would love to touch on. I was gonna do this at the end, but I'm just kind of feeling like doing it now. So this one is more football specific, so just skip ahead if you're not a footballer and you don't care about signing contracts in Europe or my thoughts on that. This question is from, damn bro, I'm not gonna try and say that name. It's Furkan underscore Bukhari 9966. Appreciate you for the question. He says, as an international student in Germany with no EU passport, is it possible to sign a contract? Great question. Yes, it's possible. Is it easy? No. Will most clubs take you on? No, unless you're exponentially better than the other players or you have a direct contact at the club that can get you in and sort of like work your way in a way that doesn't make sense on paper. That's how a lot of things go down, by the way. A lot of things happen behind the scenes with agents or, you know, someone you know that looks out for you, that is your quote-unquote agent, maybe not sign on a contract, but is someone that's looking to help you put you in a club, has a connection in the club, and they are like, okay, put my player in because you did me a favor all those years ago, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like favor exchanges, and a lot of the times I think that's how this industry and many other industries work. So, you know, on paper, it's not going to be easy getting into a club with no EU passport. I don't have an EU passport. I've been trying to get my Italian for years, but just getting the documents through Ancestry has been a process. Like it's been hell, and it's possible. My cousin's got it, so I can get it, and I thought it'd be a lot easier, but it's not. So playing in Europe is tricky, and if I do end up going over to Europe for trials, it'll only be because, and know this, it'll only be because I have someone who knows someone at the club who can get me in without having to go through the, you know, the processes of being so much better than the other players because I don't have that passport, you know. So it's kind of like cheating, just straight up. A lot of football is like cheating. If you just happen to not know the right people, or the people that you know happen to not be able to have the right context for you at the right moment in time, and even if they do, and you go and you don't happen to not perform good, or the coach that you do have a contact with that put you in touch with a club, they don't like you, it's just for whatever reason, could not even be that you're not good enough, they just don't like you because we're human beings at the end of the day. And I've definitely had that happen to me. I won't disclose where, but for those who've been paying attention, you probably know where. Just sometimes it just happens, you know, people just don't like each other, and it's a lot of luck. It just is. You know, you can only do so much with what you can control. You can only train so much. You can only eat so well. You can only sleep so good. You can only take care of yourself so, you know, perfectly. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you go for a trial, when you get put in contact with these people, it's like the power is not really in your control. And I'll be honest with you, I'm looking into getting to the agency business. Now, I'm not going to explain how or why, but I have a pretty good pathway into there. And my motivation behind that is really just trying to help people like you, because you asked this question and you obviously are trying to make it and you don't have access to the opportunities and a lot of agencies out there, and you know, there's scams, like, just straight up. They don't actually, I'm not going to name drop because I'm not trying to like create any enemies, but I know I've seen a lot of behind the scenes at this point and what really goes on. And marketing is, you know, it's marketing. It's worked since the beginning of time. It'll always work, and people will be fooled, and it's just how it goes. And football is just another industry like any other, and there's going to be people in it for the wrong reasons. And I really just, I genuinely have always been about just helping people, because I know how much I struggled, and I know how much I would have loved to have someone help me as genuinely as I want to help others. So that's kind of like my motivation behind that. And you'll probably see me in the agency business fairly soon, if things kind of go as I have envisioned them to. But anyways, next question. Great question, by the way. Sorry for ranting. Ale Malter says, what brings you the most meaning in life? Great question. It's kind of what I just touched on, being able to help people. Now, I don't go into helping other people with the intention of gaining something out of it. And I think that right there is the symbiotic relationship, not between you and the other individual, but between you and God or the universe or the essence of life, the fabric of life, because there is this sort of give and take, yin and yang concept that seems to be true and permeates throughout reality and nature. And, you know, when you do give, something comes back, whether it's a feeling of bliss or joy or happiness, that is a tangible thing that you have received back. You know, you'll always receive something back when you put energy out. It just might not be what you were expecting or hoping for. And it's not so much that, like, I give something someone physically and I expect something of equal or greater value in return. It's more like, I just know that giving is kind of what we were meant to be doing on this earth. And the more you do of that, the better you feel, and the better you feel, the happier life you can live, and the happier life you can live, oftentimes the more successful you'll be in a materialistic and immaterialistic sense. And, you know, the happier you'll be, the more successful you'll be, the more you can give, and the cycle just continues. And, you know, positivity is and genuine love for other human beings just seems to be the answer. Like, as much reading and podcast listening and discussion interpreting I've done, and the answer to life just really does seem to be love. And everything is a layer of distraction on top of that. The news, media, even these, like, these life hacks and all this shit about being a better human being. Like, if you just love the people around you, you'll be successful regardless. And I think, again, this word success has also been bastardized and conformed to fit in this sort of very materialistic Western capitalist society that we live in, to really just be equated to materialistic things. And I don't think the two should be synonymous, and it's sad to see sometimes, but, you know, it is not something you'll be able to have everyone understand to the same level. But yeah, I mean, that's what brings me the most meaning in my life, and everything sort of flows underneath it. But yeah, that's a great question. So I'm just going to answer one more. I think we'll do three per episode. So this is from Talisman DTG. He says, do you eat meat? I'm led to believe that you're plant-based, if I'm not mistaken. That's correct. I am. I've been raised vegetarian my entire life. So that's 22 years of not eating meat or eggs. I have eaten dairy. There was a period where I was entirely vegan. I think it was like 6 years where I was very strict on that. But I included some dairy products back in my life recently, and I just feel a lot better. I try to get them from, you know, local farms here in BC, and I believe that's what everyone should do when they're sourcing, you know, products in general. I always try and eat local when you can, just because the quality and the nutrition level is going to be the highest, because they're not being transported. And oftentimes, if you can select the farm, it's going to be organic. And but again, these are like things that not everyone can control for. But, you know, the dairy products that I do include are not a lot. Like, I'm not eating, I'll just tell you, it's kefir. And I guess people would debate whether or not this is a vegan product. Would it be honey as well? I think raw honey is incredibly beneficial for you, and especially as an athlete, just like a source of energy and antioxidants, and just extremely got a lot of healing properties. And it's been used, you know, in many traditions and ancient traditions around the world. And I just feel like, you know, again, as long as it's sourced what I believe to be ethically, I feel like it's okay. And then Kiefer, did I mention this? Kiefer was the other one, or kefir, I don't know how you pronounce it correctly. But it's essentially fermented. It's like a mix between yogurt and milk. And again, traditionally used in a lot of cultures around the world. Fermented foods in general, I want to start including more of into my diet, and I have been, and I've always had gut issues in my life here and there, and the more probiotics I include into my diet on a day-to-day basis, and I don't mean the pills, I mean fermented foods, and, you know, especially foods that have a lot of fiber in them, the better I feel just overall as a functioning human being, energy-wise, brain fog, you know, skin conditions, whatever, like the manifestations of poor health on your skin, like those just seem to go away when I take care of my gut. And I would definitely recommend any of you to just, you know, go to Spotify or YouTube and just look up gut health podcasts or something like that, and just pick one that looks interesting to you. I know Dr. Mark Hyman has a few. He's really good. I like his content. Just learn about the gut, because it's something that you're going to live with for the rest of your life, and understanding the basic components of how your body works, I feel like, is essential for living a healthy, high functioning life as a human being. And, you know, the more you know about your gut, kind of where everything begins, it seems to be, when it comes to like the internal workings of your body, and then, you know, obviously manifested externally too, that's what you need to learn more about. And then you can continue to dive deeper down the rabbit hole and learn about these like more nuanced, finite details of like other issues and ingredients and products that we use that we probably shouldn't, because they're slowly poisoning us. And I know people find that stuff overwhelming, because fair enough. But honestly, when I learn more about like, oh, this soap has this ingredient, and this ingredient is linked with like cancer, and so stop using that, it's just kind of like, I see it as exciting, because it's one more thing that I know, knowledge, right? I'm slightly more powerful than I was before. And I feel like, you know, ignorance is not bliss, especially when it affects your day-to-day life. So do the most that you can to educate yourself. Always be curious. Always be learning. Kind of come at the world from a critical angle, and don't give these companies that don't have your best interests in mind the benefit of the doubt. Don't just assume because they have so much money and they have so much liability, quote unquote, which they don't, if they do, a lot of the times the repercussions of the shit that they do, like the pharmaceutical industry, like I think it's the most, or what was it, Pfizer is the most, let me look it up actually. Oh, okay. So Pfizer is third on the list, but, wow, there's so many lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies. It's crazy. And a lot of the times it's because of ingredients that would go unnoticed in products like baby powder, or even if you look at the food coloring in a lot of pharmaceuticals, like why is that there? And then also, where does it come from? And a lot of times you realize like, oh, these are waste byproducts from other companies or other products that they make and that they can't get rid of because it costs them a lot of money to dump into nature, essentially. So they slip it into these products that you're consuming, and then these food dyes and these chemicals are being absorbed into your body and then accumulated over time and then causing a lot of issues because of course they are. And then I find it a fascinating rabbit hole, because it's like, wow, so much of this world, whether intentional or not, is sort of set up for us to fail as human beings and keep us weak and sick and apathetic and complacent, right? Because, you know, you're kind of labeled as crazy or like a conspiracy theorist if you question authority and you sort of talk about these things that the more you look into them, the more you realize, well, of course they're being censored because the people with all the money are paying for the people to fact check and censor this information that would go against their best interest. And it's just kind of like this weird sort of matrix that you sort of see in front of your eyes, and then you have a different perspective on life, I feel like. And that's where I come to the conclusion that love is the answer, because you can't control what happens up there, or, you know, all these different ingredients that you're consuming. You can only be so perfect. Striving for perfection is perfection. You can never actually reach it. The concept doesn't actually exist. It's never been seen to exist. And I feel like perfection only exists when you return back to God, or whatever you want to call that, source of life or creation. Did I cover everything? Let me check the notes. Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of pharmaceuticals and supplements, there are a few supplements that I've been taking recently that I feel like are actually benefiting me. Now, feel free to look into them all you want. I'm not going to talk about the research behind them on this episode. I do have a link, though, in the description that links to my Amazon shop. And then there I have, like, my supplement stack. So it's all the supplements I take. If you do want to order some for yourself, it does help me out, obviously, if you use that link. That's why I have that. But it is also a nice way to just sort of, like, okay, this is all the supplements I take. But there's also, like, my camera gear and the football equipment that I use. And just if you want to take a gander at any point, feel free. And right now, my stack is Tonga Ali, Ashwagandha, Lion's Mane, Yerba Mate, and what else am I taking? Oh, and Molecular Hydrogen and Shilajit. So those are like the six main ones that I take that I feel like have quite noticeable differences in terms of, you know, I don't feel like I need to eat as much because I'm satiated when it comes to my mineral and vitamin consumption, you know, especially Shilajit. It has 84 plus minerals. It's got zero calories. And, you know, I've been able to train without eating as much and still outputting the same amount of effort. And if not, have more effort and more energy levels to at my disposal. So it's actually been quite an incredible feeling and one that I haven't felt before. I felt like I always had to rely on eating so much food to get the same amount of energy. But, you know, having these very mineral-rich sources to be able to take and put into your body, especially in a very depleted world that we live in, you know, whether it comes to the fact that all of our food is processed and is artificial now, or the soil is depleted due to over-farming and mismanagement of resources, you know, take your pick. But at the end of the day, we are deficient in essentially every aspect, you know. Even minerals aside, like, we're deficient in sleep, we're deficient in social and human interaction, we're deficient in love, we're deficient in, you know, serotonin. We have an overabundance of dopamine. But anyways, I'm rambling. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Every Monday night, I drop another one of these. So if you do enjoy it, just stay tuned. And don't forget that there's a Q&A sticker at the bottom of these episodes if you're listening on Spotify. So if you do want to ask a question, if you want it to be anonymous as well, just let me know and I won't read out your name. And if you're not on Spotify and you're listening on a different platform, you can go to my Instagram, shoot me a DM, just be like, this is a question for the podcast, and then ask your question and I'll address it here. Again, let me know if you want to be anonymous. And yeah, that's it. Thank you again for tuning in and listening to my thoughts, and I appreciate all the support all across all the different platforms. Don't forget to go connect with human beings in real life. I hope that you're listening to this podcast while also doing something productive, and I hope that the rest of your day and what you have planned is going to help spark your ascension beyond this material plane of illusion. And, you know, I believe that through intentional conversation, introspection, and intimate human connection, we can elevate mind, body, and soul as one. And that's been the goal of this podcast, will always be the goal of this podcast and all the content I create.